Beyond podcast. This is where we spend time together to learn from the experts and from each other how to build our resiliency. This is our inner muscle that helps us to bounce back and step into life with more strength, optimism, pizzazz, and enthusiasm. My guests are amazing men and women who rebounded back into life with enthusiasm. They found that tipping point, and they bounced back with strength. They found those tools within them, and they were able to shape their lives with passion. And my amazing guest today is Siwash Zamat. Welcome, Siwash, to the Rebound podcast. I'm so excited to have you as my guest today. And would you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, thank you, Amina. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a dad, alhamdulillah. You know, I'm a father of two beautiful kids, married, run a business, a coaching business, here from London, UK. I'm a very passionate about, you know, personal growth, about business. I'm just really excited to be here with you to share parts of my story to, and really with the intention to inspire others and show others what's possible.
Absolutely. And Siwash, we've known each other for some time now, and I'm so honored to have you as my guest. You're such an amazing, I don't know how to say this, but amazing. And you are inspirational. You are a role model for a lot of people, you know, with your story, with your, at even your age group. You know, I'm very impressed with everything that you've done so far. And that's why when I invited you to be my guest, this is exactly what I would love to add. Other people would be inspired. I'd love to start with asking you a question that I always ask my guests. And this way, you know, maybe other people could relate to that as well. What movie, song, book, or any kind of maybe episode or something that when you see it, read it, or hear it, it brings out emotions that resonates with you, that reflects your story?
I really like the question. Well, first of all, you know, I want to answer this in a little bit different way. First of all, I think for me, movies have had a big impact on my journey in general, right? Especially superhero movies, right? So think about Batman, Superman, because a lot of these movies is where the hero has gone through a journey of adversity. They've almost at some point lost everything, and then they rebuild it, right? So I've always been inspired by that hero's journey, right? And, you know, so for me, that movies always kind of showed me that, you know, for me, like, you know, I knew deep inside they were movies, but I also knew, like, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too, right? And part of me, like, even from a very, very small age, from a very, very young age, I was looking at cartoons. Like, I don't remember the name, but it's like a little mouse, and he's like super, like a superhero. And for me, there's always something about making a difference, helping people, being that superhero, right? So that's number one. So that's not a specific movie, but if we think about something specific, not a lot of people will be familiar with that, but there's a story that really touched my heart on a deep level. And this is especially, you know, at some of my hardest moments in life. And it's a story of a person called Mus'ab ibn Umair, right? So this is a very, not a very well-known story, but it's a story of a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So, you know, Mus'ab, he was one of the wealthiest people in the whole of, I think in that time in Mecca, right? He was very wealthy, had a lot of good things going on for him. His mom, you know, very, very, very well known there. The part of the story that really connected me is basically he was very wealthy, and then he lost all of his wealth. And he didn't just lose it. He gave it kind of, he made a choice to give it up for, you know, for a bigger purpose, right? Because he embraced Islam. right? He became practicing, he learned about religion, and that gave him a different purpose. So there's a big connection there in my story, because I became very successful with playing poker, made a lot of money, and then made a choice to leave that life behind. You know, of course, I think this is a person that's very inspirational. I wouldn't say exactly that my life is exactly the same, but I took a lot of lessons from that. So this is, you know, and, you know, the biggest thing for me there was really to remember that, you know, when we have that higher purpose and higher connection, you know, we have a lot more contentment and fulfillment in the heart compared to the materialistic life.
Absolutely. And this is the story of Mus'ab ibn Umair is such an inspirational story. And it shows that, with, you know, money does not really matter that much in the face of a bigger purpose, in the face of, yeah, the bigger good. That's what they say there. And when you touched on purpose, when you have a purpose, when you have that inner connection to what you want to establish and to manifest in your life, then it becomes that, yes, it could be a means, but again, giving it away would be something that it's a step that needs to be taken in order to accomplish that purpose, which is beautiful. And with that, you mentioned about you were doing very good in poker and you were, you know, winning a lot of money, and you left all of that behind. So what is the story that's behind all of this?
Yeah, well, you know, when I thought about the story that I want to share, I mean, there's, because I've been personally, again, you know, we all have a story. I think I've been through, at a very young age, I think through a lot. You know, and it kind of started there. Right. It kind of started there. But to be honest, like that, I don't see that as a big adversity. In a way, I've always reframed that as a blessing in my life.
Mm, yes.
Right. So it was a choice to give up all the money, all the wealth. Right. But at the same time, and, you know, and as part of my story, like, you know, I made a choice to, I grew up in the Netherlands and I moved to London because I wanted to change my environment, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's also a big thing. Like, you know, sometimes we go through challenges in life. We have to really reflect on, you know, why are things happening, right? And a big part of why my life was in that way was because of my environment, because of the people I was hanging out with. So I made a choice to move to London. Yeah, it was hard. It was a struggle. I went through like five or six years of, you know, not having much, working, being a student, you know, and working in 3 part-time jobs, lived on noodles for a few years. Mm. Right. You know, but at the same time, you know, there was a lot of fulfillment on the inside. Right. I think that the main story that I do want to kind of go deeper on is at one point, basically, it, you know, I've had a lot of difficulties, but at one point it got to a point where I couldn't pay rent and I missed paying my rent for a few times. And I haven't really shared the story of, like, in public, I think maybe once, but I lost my accommodation and I end up sleeping in the office for one night, but my boss didn't know that. Mm. Right. And he found out during the day, because, you know, if you sleep in the office, it will leave a certain smell naturally, right?
Yeah.
So he found out, then he let me go. And basically I was like, you know, kind of like homeless, right? No place to stay, no job. And I think it was around 25, 26, and I made one of the most toughest decisions in my life, and that's to move back with my parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think for anyone that will be hard, but for men, I think that really hurt my ego. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Because I had to move back to the Netherlands. And for me, it was kind of like, that was kind of like almost like, okay, everyone is now going to think you're a failure because you left to London after 5-6 years being in London. I moved back to, you know, moving with my parents. So this was a real low point. No money. In fact, I owed people money. Yeah, moving back with my parents, you know.
I'm sure they loved having you back, but that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's tough for the men, of course, you know, like after going through and being on your own and working, and you said you had like three jobs at one time and so on, and then all of a sudden everything is gone. So that, of course, it brings out a lot of pride, that the pride, you know, and ego, of course, were hurt. But at the same time, what was the tipping point that you went back to your parents, you were going through probably some rough time there as well, thinking, and what was the tipping point that got you to where you are right now?
When I went back from London to the Netherlands, normally I would fly in between, you know, the Netherlands, in between UK and the Netherlands, but I couldn't afford an airplane ticket, right? So I took a bus.
Wow.
And that in itself is really horrible. So imagine like a 12-hour journey in a bus, and I can't really sleep much in a bus, right? So, you know, in a bus, you can watch some movies and stuff. But I had a journal and I started just thinking about, okay, you know, what do I really want in life, right? What do I really want? Like, what do I really want? Not what does my parents want? What do my friends want? What do my teachers want? What do I really want? And I thought about, I just really like reflected on where I was in life. And I remember that I found that piece of journal that I use in that bus. I wrote down how much money I have, and it was in the minus, right? I wrote down where my life was, and I start thinking about, well, what created this? And I realized it didn't happen by chance. It happened by, you know, the different decisions and choices I made. I got to where I was.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
That's a very powerful question. Because sometimes people would go through circumstances like what's happening now in the pandemic, for example. And we know that there's the reason for pandemic, but we also know that if we think about what caused, you know, like what caused this to happen, or what caused us to lose our jobs, or when we think about it this way, sometimes we get some sort of relief.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like a core fundamental belief for me has always been that, you know, God will not test you with more than you can handle.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I knew whatever is coming to me, I can handle it. And that was for me actually like almost like a pillar to hold on to.
Yes.
But again, you know, I think often we, you know, I've done that. By the way, I haven't always been super positive. I've gone through depression. I've gone through negative cycles. But, you know, one of the things that really helped me is always to just read books and connect to what I want, right, instead of thinking, why am I here?
Yes.
Just feeling sorry for myself. Right. Yes. And, you know, again, also like, you know, I think I'm being fortunate because when I created a success with poker, I still had that reference that, hey, you know, you can become successful. Maybe that was just not the right vehicle. You just need to find something else.
Yes.
Right. So I've been through a lot of rejection. I've been through a lot of failure, but in the back of my mind, I knew that, okay, I've done it once. I'm sure I can do it again. Just don't know how.
Yes.
Right. So on that journey, so journaling actually helped me a lot. And again, you know, I wouldn't say like I was someone that would journal on a very regular basis, but I knew that I would always look at what are successful people doing. And one of the things that I kept seeing again and again, okay, successful people journal. Yes. They get clear on what they want, right? They ask themselves certain questions. So I would always just think, okay, well, you know, I'm 12 hours stuck in this bus. Let me just journal. Why am I here? Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so the journaling really helped me. And I think, you know, in terms of tipping point, I think, you know, the tipping point happened actually. The tipping point was a bit, maybe a year further.
Mm-hmm.
So I in Holland, I kind of swallowed my pride, got a job, right? Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to come back to London, right? I found a job in London,
mm-hmm.
right? The job in London, again, wasn't really a success, you know, end up working, doing a job that I didn't really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I think what the tipping point happened is because I got a job in a managerial position, but then end up doing, you know, like I end up working in a restaurant and end up doing everything from cleaning to cooking to doing three people's job, working, you know, 12-hour shifts, six, 7 days a week. the tipping point came to at one moment. I was so stuck in that job because I had to pay the bills, right? And this probably happens to all of us, right? At some point, you know, we just get in that cycle of paying bills. And I knew I wanted to get out of it, right? Even though I was working 12-hour shifts, I would always read books and I would listen to books. And I knew that there's a lot more for me there, right? But the tipping point happened when one day I helped increase the business of the owner so much. And one day he basically, he would often be rude to other staff members, but never to me. And after 5 months, he lost it once with me. And you know, whatever, I don't know exactly what happened, but he lost his temper and I just quit straight away. And I said, enough's enough. I just needed that little bit of push.
Yeah.
And so the tipping point happened there when I said, you know what? I've helped so many people build their dreams. Now it's time for mine. Right?
Beautiful.
You know, and I think it's just that. It's part of it is just actually just realizing that, you know, I had support. You know, I moved in with my uncle. You know, he said, hey, you don't need to pay rent. You know, and again, you know, it's actually just being, so for me, it's, I think those two things, like actually just being okay, right? You know, being okay, just being clear that, okay, this is not serving me. This job is not serving me. If I stay in the job, it's hard to change, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes we just have to go take a few steps back to then be able to go forward. Absolutely. Because if we just stay in the same position, it's hard to create that shift.
Yes.
Right. And I realized, okay, well, hey, this job with these 12-hour shifts are not serving me. Let me take a step back and then find a job that has more, you know, like a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly a 9-to-5. Like some days I would work 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., but a lot more time in my day. Right. And the job was paying better. So I just started working, you know, in a more regular job.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a couple of things here that really resonated with me as well, and resonated with, of course, you know, we're talking about resiliency and how you build your resiliency, mm-hmm. and how you became the strong person you are today. And this is the thing, you mentioned faith, you mentioned your belief in God, that he would give you as much as you can tolerate and as much as you can withstand and can deal with. At the same time, with you have such a growth mindset. So with those two, and the growth mindset brings about, again, the awareness. Journaling, of course, you know, like is one of the biggest pieces of bringing in awareness of what's really happening to us, what's going on, mm-hmm. and so on. Having the faith and having the growth mindset, but as well as you have the emotional intelligence to understand what is also happening within you. And this, I believe that, and you tell me, please, Siwash, you know, like, were all of these components, did you realize that this is what's happening for you, or because it's automatically happening, your thought process automatically take you to the faith and your heart, and automatically, oh, I want to read books, I want to grow, and so on. It was just done automatically, but you're not thinking about it, that this is what's happening to me.
No, you know, actually, I think what would be useful is to share with people here that I went through, I think, 15 jobs in 7 years, mm. right? After giving up poker, right? I've been stuck in places for too long. Sometimes months and maybe like even over a year. So the thing for me is, you know, deep inside I knew, mm-hmm. right? But I get comfortable often, mm. right? So, you know, and I think that's what it is, you know, like, you know, I think just reflecting on and preparing for this conversation, I was thinking about what was it really that made a difference, right? So for me, like, for me, there were so many times that I got stuck, but I would, for example, while a big part of my day was, for example, just showing up at job, just doing the basic things, right?
Yes.
Completing my job. And then there was days that I would just go, wake up, go to job, you know, get tired, go to sleep and repeat that cycle. Mm-hmm. But what I started doing is I kept reading books and I kept listening to books. right? And for me, like, I kept seeing again, referring also to our conversation at the beginning, whenever I watched the movie, right, I thought, hey, you know what? These people have gone through an adversity, right? Whenever I would read books, and especially, I really like reading books about, with stories about people, right? So most personal development books is written by someone usually that has gone through a journey where they went through something, right? They lost a loved one. They lost all their business, right? Something happened. And that for me kept showing me that, hey, you know what? If this person can do it, I can do it.
Yes.
Right. But I had this, I had this, and I think this is the thing, right? Part of me knew there's a lot more possible. I have this huge potential, but then there is a lot of these limiting beliefs there. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, for me, I think, and this is maybe like one of the tipping points. I was at a personal development event with Tony Robbins, and Tony shared his story, but he didn't say initially it was him. Right.
Yeah.
He shared his story, and then he said that one of the things that really helped him change was this idea that the past does not define me.
Yes.
Right. Yes, again, something that I've wrote down, thinking about the different struggles that I've been through. I was one of the top students in the secondary school, right? Or maybe in the US you call it high school.
Yeah.
But I dropped out. I went to university later, one of the top students in university, and then I dropped out. Right. So for me, a lot of my thinking was like, you know what, I'm not good enough because I don't have a degree. I don't have qualifications.
Yeah.
But the moment I really realized that the past does not define me, mm-hmm. I thought, hey, you know what? I have a blank canvas. And the truth is we all have it. It doesn't matter what you've gone through, whether it's divorce or mm-hmm. whatever you've gone through, how much failure you've gone through. Every day is in a way a new day.
Absolutely.
Right. And when I really realized that, you know what? I have a blank canvas. I have my pen. Right. And that's why personally I love iPad. You can open a blank, canvas all the time.
Yes.
And you can just create what you want.
Absolutely.
Right. That's when I really realized that, hey, you know what? My life is where I am, where it is because of my choices, not because of my parents. I used to blame my dad for things, right? Yes. I used to blame my circumstances. You know, there was a lot of things that were going on. You know, a lot of people also saying like, hey, and I think this is just common, not just for Muslims, but for a lot of religious people that, it's okay to be poor as long as you have that connection with God or you have that, fulfillment in your heart. But then I realized, I am poor because of my choices, not because now I'm a man of faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, I think, where the real turning point happens. When the moment I saw that, I am creating my life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When I changed that idea, I said, okay, you know what? Let's consciously create it. Mm-hmm. And even then, it didn't change overnight.
Yes.
The moment I knew that, I would wake up in the morning, I would listen an hour every day. I would listen to people like Les Brown, Tony Robbins, mm-hmm. right? And these are the things, right? So I had these different phrases that I would constantly say to myself, like, I'll make it happen no matter what. It doesn't matter how long it takes, I'm going to make it happen.
Yes.
Right?
And you change that, like instead of being stuck in that mode of thinking that I'm a failure, I'm not good enough or whatever, because I'm stuck in certain parts of my journey and I'm blaming this or I'm blaming that. When we get in that mode of thinking, we stay stuck. But what you said here is that with that tipping point that you said, oh, they can do it, I can do it too. I'm listening to all of those inspirational people that are really impacting my way of thinking as well. But it's not, people can listen and it can go just through and doesn't make any sense. But when you listen and it really resonates with you and it clicks with you, you listen to Les Brown and to Tony Robbins. Maybe some people would listen to other people that would resonate with them as well. So that would make that click happen.
Yeah. And by the way, I want to just point this out because I work as a high performance coach right now.
Yes.
Right. Help people grow their business, change their, improve their life. Often I share these things with people, the books that impact, help me, the audios that help me. But often, what I notice is that people would listen to it once and then they would move on.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I listen to it on repeat. the mm-hmm. same audio for at least a year every morning.
Yes.
Right. Sometimes I would listen to the same audio in the morning and in the evening. Mm-hmm. Right. I would listen to the same books again. Or basically for me, it was, I knew that I needed to, because I was conditioned into thinking, you know, I repeated that same story for 5-6 years that, you know, I'm not good enough.
Yes.
You know, I'm a dropout. I'm this, I'm that. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I come up, you know, in the Asian culture, you know, degrees are so important. That's how you're conditioned, you know, get a good degree, get a good job, you yeah. get married, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But for me, like, so there's a big part missing there. Mm. But then, you know, like, again, the moment I found some role models that didn't have a degree, mm-hmm. but they educated themselves,
yes.
right? And I've, again, over the years, probably read, listened to hundreds of books, but it's for me, it's an important part of that is, right, it's repetition,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. You can, you know, if someone says like, read this book changed my life, you know, most people will just read it once and they don't really get it.
Yeah.
Right. So for example, there's a book, a very famous book called Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
And he said, oh, this book has created a lot of millionaires. So I said, okay, let me read it. But then one day I saw an interview and it said, well, the average, I went to a conference and the person said, well, the average millionaire has read this book 11 times. I was like, all right. So I haven't read it enough times yet. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Like I kept going to conferences,
yes.
right? Yeah. So I didn't only just invest in books. Mm-hmm. I used to constantly invest in workshops, in conferences. And again, that, right, for me, it wasn't always the knowledge that inspired me. Mm-hmm. I would increase my knowledge.
Yes.
But what would constantly inspire me is seeing different people, mm-hmm. right, that came from different walks of life, but that succeeded, yes. right? And I think that's the most important thing is, we all have our own stories. Mm-hmm. There's someone else that went through something similar.
Yes.
Right? If you think about Oprah, you know, she's a billionaire, one of the most successful women right now alive, right? She, you know, she went through abuse. She's been through so much. You know, she had a miscarriage at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And nobody would ever think that someone like her would become successful.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what really inspires people, the other people's stories. And yeah. one of the things that when you're talking about the books and information level, and we learned from Steve Chandler, the level of information is not enough to change your life. When you read it again and again, and you reach that level of transformation, that's what makes a difference. And when you say that they read it 11 times or 100 times or whatever, then it became part of who they are. And yeah. what really, really amazes me also, it's the level of determination that you have to make it happen. Because when we have that determination and we have that purpose in mind, this is where we're heading. And this is, again, I can see your level of determination, you know, going up and up and up, the more that you become more and more and more successful in what you're doing. And the more that you want to help people also become successful in what they're doing. So here is where, because I always relate that to purpose. What is your biggest purpose that you can see that is helping your determination level to be that high?
Yeah, good question. Well, you know, here's something that happened to me, right? So this is a really long story, but I'll try to keep it really short. It's one of the reasons I moved to London, right? Because I met a girl, mm. right? And that's also, to be honest, one of the reasons I got interested in Islam is because she was a Muslim. And the only way I could marry her is by learning about Islam, becoming Muslim, yes. right? But I fell in love with the whole religion, right? Mm-hmm. And so she was my best friend. That's the reason I moved to UK. 4 years into me being in UK, she passed away. So this was my best friend and the person I was thinking about getting married to,
yeah.
right? So in a way, like my whole world collapsed. Mm-hmm. And that's why for me, it was really hard to pick one specific story, but there was so much that happened.
Oh,
and this kind of happened in the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But and you know, I think looking back, like Steve Jobs said, is looking back, you can connect the dots.
Yes. Yeah.
When she passed away, I was, you know, doing a small pilgrimage, you know, we call it Umrah, right? So I was there in a very holy place, right? And I think that's such a beautiful thing because I didn't have money, but somehow I fundraised. And as part of the fundraising, you get a ticket, right? So I fundraised a lot of money and I was able to fly and be in that place. And I remember, you know, I'll try not to get too emotional, but I remember that day I made a specific prayer. I said, you know, because, you know, I realized like she was younger than me and I realized that, hey, look, if someone can just pass away like that, she wasn't unwell, someone can pass away like that. You know, I realized, hey, life is temporary, right? Life is short. I can't keep delaying things.
Yes.
Right. I kept delaying things. Said, okay, one day I'll do this. One day I'll follow my dreams. Right. And I made one prayer and said, God, use me for a greater good. You can take my life anytime you want because I'm happy. Right. I'm in a way, I was ready to meet my creator. But I said, you know, I made a prayer and said, let me make a big impact, not for myself. Because, you know, ultimately we don't take money with us into the grave.
Yeah.
But I knew there was a bigger purpose. Right. And I didn't really know what it was, but I knew that I wanted to make a bigger impact. Yes. Right. I went through a lot and I thought, hey, there is something bigger here. So I just, that was my prayer. Like, I want to make a bigger impact here before I go. Right. And in a way, everything else is connected to that.
Yes.
Right. So I went through maybe like 9-10 years of, you know, a lot of ups and downs. And when I first time when I hired a coach is when I realized that, you know, This is someone that helped me connect the dots and put all the pieces of the puzzle together within a month. And I thought, hey, this is, you know, this is incredible. And initially, at the beginning, I thought, okay, I can make money like this. Great, right? Yes. But then it's when I started earning, you know, money with it, that's when I reconnected to that purpose and thought, hey, you know what? This is it. Because people go through a lot and often they're looking for, you know, for some of us, the books can change us. For some of us, you know, an audio tape can change us. But sometimes, you know, we try so hard, but it's just like you got all these different pieces of the puzzle, but it's just not connecting.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so kind of for me, that was really like, you know, so that in a way, like that's the bigger purpose is to just make an impact. Right. Is to make a real big difference, you know, because ultimately, like, you know, we all have our own definition of success, but, you know, if you earn 5,000 a month, 10,000 a month, it's more than enough to have a really good quality of life, right? Yes. So what keeps me going right now is every day is to think about how can I help more people, right? Mm-hmm. And not only that, I think I really believe that, you know, leaders don't just help people and create followers, leaders create other leaders, right? So now I'm constantly thinking about how can I create more leaders? Because together we can make a much bigger impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very much needed, of course. And of course, nowadays with the pandemic again and with everything that's going on and people facing a lot of mental health issues or going through mental health issues and they feel stuck sometimes and so on. But having a purpose, having some sort of like a vision of what they can see they can do, because every single person has so much inside of them that they can bring it out during those times of adversity as well. So having that, when you have that impact, that purpose that you want to impact as many people as you can and grow leaders and so on, I'm sure, Siawash, that if you are going through any kind of trouble or any kind of challenge right now, or not right now, but I mean, you know, like if you're on your journeys, I'm sure that hanging on to that purpose, it gives you the push, or it propels you into finding a solution. What can I do to make this happen? Or what can I do to ensure that I'm continuing with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, now I see things in a very different way.
Yes.
Now, you know, if anything comes my way, I can really, you know, I mean, there's a few things. Number one, I think is, you know, developed patience in a very different way, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I think there's different levels of patience. Sometimes this patience is, you know, sometimes something happens to people, they react and then they are patient, right? But I think a higher level of patience is to not react and actually remember in that moment that it's happening for a reason and actually to, you know, be grateful for what's happening.
Yes.
right? So for me, like, you know, it's not so much just like a technique or a coping mechanism, but I think for me, it's just more a way of, I can zoom out and think about, okay, why is this happening? What's the bigger purpose?
Yes.
And sometimes it's not about just having the answer to it, but knowing that there's good in it, right?
And having that thought process, having that thought process, because we know, of course, from the teachings, you know, Prophet Muhammad, we know that patience in the face of calamity, patience is in the face of calamity, but developing that within you, that helped you probably a lot in facing any kind of challenge. And that thought process that this is happening for a reason, because you have trained yourself to reach that point.
Yeah,
and this
yeah,
is what everyone can do, you know, and when you're developing leaders and teaching them all of this, it really has such a great impact on their lives in so many different ways. Because, you know, as in our profession, we've grown and we've read and we've learned so much, and we want to give that out to other people as well. We want to see them grow as much as we've grown, and we're still growing and we're still learning, of course. But this is the beauty of what's happening here when you're developing those characteristics, those components within you, and noticing them and helping others notice them and develop them as well. Then, as you said, you know, like, we're, again, people are going to be in a very different situation than what we're seeing in different areas now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's about, you know, like, one of the big things for me is really like, is creating, because what I noticed, I used to go a lot up and down, right?
Yes.
And I realized that a big part of success is, you know, is what you do long term. It's not what you do just today, right? You know, like, if we want to have, you know, a good, if we want to be healthy, right, it's about what we do six days out of seven.
Yes.
Right? You can be healthy and still have, you know, pizza once a week, right? And I think it's that mindset. For me, that was also one of the things that really made a difference, is my highs are not too high anymore and my lows are not very low. So there's a good, nice balance there.
Yes.
Right? So I have like my morning and my evening routine, and throughout the day, you know, as a Muslim, we pray five times, but it's really kind of making sure that it doesn't matter, you know, what happens during the day, that my emotions don't get too high and don't get too low, right? And I think when we can balance that, whatever life throws at us, we can, you know, kind of like handle that in a different way.
Yes.
Right? And because, you know, anything unexpected can happen to us. We can lose our loved ones.
Yeah.
We can, you know, we can lose the house that we, you know, the house that we buy. Anything can happen, but it's just remembering that ultimately, you know, and that's, for me, like, an important part is I'm not too connected anymore to anything that I have. And I know that's, you know, that's, for some people that might sound weird, but I think it's just remembering that, you know, and that's kind of connected to this. My whole philosophy is, if anyone wants to really change their life, no matter where they are, no matter how low you are, you know, invest in yourself. Because by investing in yourself, and it can be anything, I had to make choices between, do I want to buy dinner or do I want to buy a book? And I know it sounds crazy, but I would buy a book, and somehow food will sort itself out. I would meet someone that would say, hey, I've cooked some food, would you like to join me? Right? But I invested in myself because I knew that no one can take that away, right? It's who, you know, and if you really want to change, it has to start from within, right? So the moment I start changing that, because, you know, everything else kind of fell into its place, right? So, and I think that's an important part, is that we don't get too connected to the things that we have, because they can be taken away from us.
Absolutely.
Right? Again, you know, I have that mindset of like, this life is temporary, right?
Yeah.
There's a bigger purpose to why we're here. And it doesn't mean that we should have big goals, because you can have big goals, right? You can, there's a lot more, whatever I think is possible for me, I know that I can do 10 times more. And I'm constantly seeing that, right? But that comes really from keeping ourselves, you know, nice and grounded. And I, you know, at the same time, looking at the stars, right? Aiming really high, but at the same time, making sure that we don't kind of like get too big for ourselves.
Absolutely. You said so many different, you know, like gold nuggets here, little gold nuggets. I was going to ask you, you know, like what would you advise somebody going through an adversity or calamity? Because of course we know that like people lost their jobs, or people who cannot afford rent, or they were evicted, or some people who are dealing with mental health and so on. You mentioned a few nuggets here and there, but what about, what would you tell them if somebody's listening to this podcast and they are resonating with your story and what you've gone through? What would be the most important thing that you would like them to learn from or to take away from?
I think, you know, one of the important things for all of us is hope. Right? You know, there's a lot of research now done in the psychology of hope, but I think it's such an important thing, like, is remembering that no matter how dark it gets, you know, at some point light comes back.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so I think it's one of them is that, you know, and I think I mentioned this a few times, but really having higher purpose.
Yes.
Right? Because I used to live in this kind of idea that I'm in a box. I'm in this life. I live my life and then that's it. I'm gone. Mm. Right. But I think, you know, yeah. And remembering that, I know like some people that might be listening to this, maybe they don't, you know, believe in God, but believe in a higher purpose.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is created in such a beautiful way. Mm. Right. Everything is created with purpose. If the sun was a little bit closer, we wouldn't be able to live because it would be too hot.
Yes.
Right? It would be a bit further away, it would freeze. Right? And it's remembering that things have a way of working out, right? And I think that's an important part, that as part of hope is knowing that things will work out.
Yes.
Right? But again, not just waiting and hoping for things, but taking responsibility.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, remembering that, again, you know, we don't need to blame ourselves, but take responsibility for like, hey, I can choose. I can choose what I eat. I can choose, you know, who I spend time with. Right. Because, you know, it's very easy to say, well, I'm here because of those guys.
Yes.
Or, you know, because my parents didn't give me any of this. But the moment we start taking responsibility, that's when, you know, we can see actually, hey, I can make better choices. And that's how it is, right? If we increase our awareness, we can start making better choices. When we change the choices, we change the results we get, right? So whatever it is, financial, you know, having a beautiful partner, all of that starts with awareness and then
absolutely,
you know, continues to choices.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think that's the main thing that I would say to anyone listening to this is, you know, If you're not happy with the results, you can work backwards, right? If you're not happy with the results you have,
yes.
Oh, look at these choices you made.
Yeah.
And it means sometimes if you don't know how to make the right choices, you need to go back to awareness. What do I need to learn? Mm-hmm. Right.
And you mentioned journaling. Journaling is one of the biggest tools that we have that we can do easily and to try to understand ourselves and gain that awareness. It brings up a lot of our thoughts that we want to, when we become aware of, then we have the choice. Okay, which way should I go after that? Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's also, I think, you know, you mentioned this, but resourcefulness is so important, right? Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, if we want something bad enough, we can always find a way. There might be some people listening while saying like, well, okay, I can journal, but I don't know how to get out of this.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. if you give someone a million, they will find a way out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Resourcefulness.
You put a gun to someone's head, they will find a way.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's that we remember that it's not so much about the how to.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much free information out there on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
There's a wealth of information out there in books. Mm. Right. But it has to come from that deep desire to want change, to want improvement. Because, we, you know, with whatever we have,
yes.
There's some benefits to not, you know, being stuck.
Absolutely.
Right? It's comfortable, you know, and again, we don't need to jump off a cliff, but it's just actually saying like, okay, I want to improve and then taking small steps for that.
Yes. We have such a treasure box within us as humans. Yeah. And we just want the sort of like the spark to get to understand, and the spark, I mean, if it's an event or a challenge or something that happens, to get us to realize that we have it inside of us and we'll use it when we face that, and we bring it out when it's needed. And sometimes people would say, okay, I'm stuck, you know, I don't know what to do, and so on. But once they realize that you have it in you, tap into it, and it will come out. So you mentioned, Siwash, a lot since we talked from the very beginning about your, you know, determination level, about the purpose, about the resourcefulness. And resourcefulness, let me explain just a little bit. Here is where you know what you, when you know what you need and where to find it. This is just a very short explanation. So how to find it? Of course, there's Google, there are people, contacts, whoever we can get in touch with. This is how to be resourceful. And this is different than having a secure base. When you were talking about your story, and having a secure base is somebody who can support you, somebody who loves you so much, they have your back. When you talked about your uncle and he got you to stay in his house, you didn't have to pay rent, that was part of your secure base at that time.
You see? Yeah, exactly. So I've been quite fortunate to have people like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the people, you know, my mom has always been there. And, you know, I've been married for almost 5 years now, but I met my wife 7 years ago. And this was, again, someone that, you know, has created that for me, right? Because I think it's so important to have someone, not just someone that, you know, tells you, you know, you can do this, but someone that kind of you can go back to at any moment, that it believes in you, right? My uncle saw the struggles I went through and he would share his story with me.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I think that's so important, you know, and sometimes if it's not a person, it could come from a movie. It could come from a book.
Yes.
You know, I'm very grateful to have actually a few people around me that created that secure base.
Yes. Yeah. It makes a difference. And if somebody does not have a secure base and they can be resourceful in finding a secure base, in finding a mentor, in finding a coach, in finding, you know, again, finding a mentor or a coach or a consultant, they would help you. They would help the person build a roadmap. They would help the person figure out. You said in 1 month, your coach was able to put the dots for you, right? Click on those important pieces of your life that really made a big difference in your life. So having also somebody like this, that would help if the secure base is not there. And and Siwash, you know, like if all of the people that are listening now, and if somebody is really resonating with what you're talking about, and how would they find you? How would they reach you if they would like to ask you more questions or want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. I'm always open, you know, to have conversations with people. You know, I think the easiest way is really Facebook. You know, if you type in my name, it will come up.
Okay.
For me, I'm also in a place where, you know, business is growing a lot. So I'm creating a lot of free stuff that's really valuable for people. Mm-hmm. But I'm always happy, even if it's not a phone call, I'm always happy to answer people's questions and direct them, you know, in the right way. So yeah, Facebook is an easy way. You know, I'm always there.
Wonderful.
I have a team around me now that helps me manage it.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, like, look, one
wonderful and, people, wonderful.
Yeah.
Team. Yes.
And I want to just mention here something. Look, for me, it's, you know, I don't need, you know, any, what do you call it? I don't need anyone as a client, you know. We're doing really well in business, but I want to just mention this, right? Because, you know, when things are hard, sometimes you need someone to just give you, to listen to, or someone that can point you into the right direction. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I'm always open for anyone to message me, you know? And I think because, you know, I've been there. Wherever I've gone through the crazy days to, you know, not having food, not having a place to stay, losing everything, you know, and for that reason, you know, my door will always be open for people that are genuine and have questions.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Siwash. That's wonderful. And a lot of people, they need that listening ear, they need that compassion. They need that type of, again, the bigger purpose is service, you know, and how we can serve each other as human beings as well. Yeah. Siwash, would you like to add anything else before we wrap up?
I think we mentioned a lot, but yeah, personally, like, I'm just really grateful for, you know, actually for being able to share this, because it brought a lot of, it's helped me connect the dots. But yeah, you know, I think the last thing that I want to share is just really for people, you know, for whoever's listening to this, to believe in yourself.
Yes.
You know, that's often like the magical, like that's often where the magic happens.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because when, you know, we talked about this, we're all created, you know, in such an amazing way, right? And, you know, to really tap into that, mm-hmm. right? We've been through things in life, and sometimes that can create some fog where we don't see whatever's in front of us clear. Mm-hmm. But it's just to remember that, you know, that you have so much good inside you.
Yes.
It's just to connect to that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's the treasure box. I call it the treasure box, that we can bring out really gems. But that's a beautiful words. Thank you so much, Siwash. It's really a great pleasure to have you as my guest today. And I'm sure that a lot of people would really resonate with what you're talking about and be influenced and inspired with your story. And they know that there's always the light at the end of the tunnel. There's always hope. Hope is what we put our, if we focus on the hope, if you focus on the purpose, if we focus on what's our meaningfulness of life looks like, then everything will be okay. Things are going to happen. Thank you, Siwash, so much. And
you're welcome.
It's a blessing to have you here. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Face challenges with optimism. Face challenges with courage. Face challenges with determination. Rebound to life with resilience and strength to live the life you have always wanted. 10 components that we discuss, how they come out and how they are tapped into from the stories we hear. Those 10 components are for you to own and to activate, because they are in you. You want to activate them in the first face of adversity, challenges, and simply just anything that feels uncomfortable. We learn from those who had gone through challenges, how they carried the torch of resilience for others to follow. This is the Rebound Podcast.